21 minutes after 8 o'clock. That's what we like to call in the biz a short sting. They don't come much shorter than that. Well, our guests, our stories leave a lasting impression on us here in the biz when we're not being impressed upon by short stings. And Jeff Weaver has introduced us to a lot of great Island characters over the years, the 9 years and counting that he's been here. As you might know, Jeff is leaving the program this week, and you certainly seem to know. The emails keep piling in. We cannot read all the emails from listeners wishing Jeff well, but he is...
I think you're making that part up. Keep going.
You try and get something by that. No, I'm not making it up. There's a lot. I mean, the emails really are coming in.
Matt, yeah, and I'm going to try to answer every one. I am going to try.
Yeah, and it's a daunting task. So if Jeff doesn't get back to you right away, do not be insulted. There are a lot of people here who are wishing him well, an awful lot of people. I sometimes wish that we got that much response to a story we ran. But anyway, it's very nice to hear from the listeners. And as you may know, Jeff is leaving the island.
Yeah, so I get a chance to reminisce about some of the islanders that I've met. And always wondering how they're doing now, like David Chambers. I interviewed David and his grandmother Ruth 7 years ago at Ruth's farm.
We'd often come down in the springtime when the daffodils were out. I can remember Gran, there was nasturtiums always along the side of the house there along the path, and I can remember her telling me, "Oh, try one of these nice leaves. They taste really good."
You know, I can't remember that at all.
Fiery hot.
I don't believe I was so cruel.
I always love that story of Ruth poisoning her grandson on nasturtiums. And I love the rapport, how you can tell they dearly love one another. Back then, David had just decided to take over his grandparents' farm at the foot of Mount Doug. Ruth's husband had just died. And I always wondered how he made out and if he had made the right decisions. So I called David, heard some other voices in the background this time, and I drove out to the old farmhouse.
Well, that was my wife in the background and my little daughter, Lola. She's just over three now. She was an August baby. We were happy she came when the corn came and she had two good ears.
Yeah, that's the sense of humor I remember, too. And your wife?
Oh, she's got it, too.
And her name?
Is Natalie.
And she's right across the table. Natalie, feel free to just come around to the other side of the table here at any point. How did this develop?
Lola?
No, well, Natalie first and then Lola.
Well, I'd met her.
Or how do I know it came in that in that progression?
David was driving a tractor.
Here, Natalie's just pulling up her chair.
Okay, well, David was driving the tractor down at the Gailey corn maze 1 year, and I was there with my son, and it was really nice, and I just thought, wow, what a nice guy. And then one day I was happening, doing my local food shop along the Blenkinsop Road, and lo and behold, there he was at the vegetable stand. And I was a customer for quite a while, and then I started wondering why his radishes were growing in my compost. I was buying a lot of veggies, and that's how it started.
It took a few years before we got together, and I was pretty busy in the early years getting things going with the farm, and I knew I didn't have quite I wouldn't be able to settle down at that point. And then when I thought the time was right, I planted a cauliflower in her hand, and it was love ever since then.
No, really?
Yeah.
He put a watermelon, when he proposed to me, he put a watermelon rind ring on my finger.
And she accepted. And this is Lola, and she was born a few days later.
How's the farmer's life been?
It has been a great life. And I really love doing what I do. And it's not many things that you can do where you get really positive feedback every day. And the momentum of the farm has just built and built and built. Last year was a great year for us. We pulled 120,000 pounds of food out of the fields and sold it all off of the side of the road there. And the last day we were open before Christmas was just amazing, the support that was there. Mm-hmm. You had both sides of Blenkinsop Road on either side of the vegetable stand where the cars were packed, the parking lots were packed, the lineup went beyond the fir tree out there, almost to the road. And this is everybody was waiting for, you know, Christmas vegetables.
Why is there such demand for what you grow?
Well, first of all, they're grown by my husband, the farmer, and it's amazing for people to have a relationship, to know the person who is growing their food, and also that the food is picked every day, fresh, so it's fresh every day, and it's organic, and it's grown in an ecologically sound fashion, so that is a very you know, eating food that is closest to being picked is the healthiest for the body. So all of those factors combined with my husband's great charm, you know, it brings a lineup every day. So, yes.
But it's one of the really great things is because the farm borders up onto Mount Doug Park. It's sort of the foot of Mount Doug. Is that some mornings you'll see the customers walking in the park and they'll be calling to you over the fence and talking to you. And an hour later, you'll be seeing them standing in the lineup there. Yeah. And that to me is really great. You know, it's being in the center of a community where the people can not only just meet and know the farmer, but they can see the food where it's coming from.
I remember the story where you took me into the barn and you said, the first time you opened up the barn door, you saw all these tools hanging there and you didn't know what any of them were for. But you felt, you heard your grandfather's voice or you felt him.
Yeah, that was when I was fixing the cedar, and you know he was sort of giving me a smack for my sort of inability to use tools properly. You know, and doing it this way, and that's when it had come. And yeah, throughout my time here, you've really felt the presence. You felt when Granny left, you could feel her energy leave here. But you know, I think that both of them have been watching over and guiding things in a really good way, and the way things are moving into the future. It was a pretty good time, I think, to get into farming because the world of agriculture is really changing. And they've been guiding me along. I think that my grandfather's helped save my bacon a few times with the tractor up on the hillside. Learning to drive a tractor on the slopes, you know, it's a quick learning curve.
Tell me, what are the silliest things you've done?
I think that the silliest things is the center of the farm because it's quite steep, right through the middle. And I've learned a few of the slopes there. One of them was quite common. We had a hay wagon fully loaded in the early years when we were still doing the hay. And my cousin had come over from England and he was on the top of the wagon. And my friend Zeb was out helping for the summer. And we jackknifed this trailer coming down that bit. The tractor just took off and they went flying. And luckily there was hay flying with them. Since then, there've been a few close calls on that middle bit when it's wet and things. So what Natalie started to do as part of her project is when she was working with finishing up her restoration degree at UVic, then we went through the center of the farm and we've been creating a corridor. So we put 450 native trees through there just to try and tree off the slope, which makes a sort of a native corridor through the center, and also to stop me from driving the tractors up and down that particular portion of the farm.
What dual purpose. Do you remember I asked your grandmother for her reaction? What was it? It was Ruth, right? I asked her what her reaction was when she heard that you were going to take over the family farm. Do you remember? She said, I thought, thank God.
Yeah, it was really neat. When she passed away in 2002 and she'd been able to see it come back. You know, it wasn't to the level that it's come now. It's been quite a few years now since she passed on, but she was able to see the farm start to flourish again and the productivity come back into it. And she was able to live out her last years in the house. And she passed away in the other room there.
So she was able to see David restore the family farm. Yeah. So wonderful.
Did you make the right decision?
Yes. Very much so. I'm very happy with where we are and, you know, being able to raise your family in this setting, to bring them up with the food and to be a part of the community like this where it's wonderful.
Restoring the family farm. Great story. Jeff, thank you for going back and talking to David Chambers.